Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our Wednesday midweek prayer gathering and teaching of Labors for Christ Word Life Center. We are in the current month of February with ministerial training, creative and innovative ways to produce and to present the LFC culture into our 2020 have a lot of announcements that we can share with you today. A lot of exciting things going on in Labors for Christ Ministries. There's the prayer breakfast that you encourage to get your tickets. It is March 7th. Get your tickets from Elder Sharita doing worship service at our gathering, or you can do it online electronically. If you need more information regarding that, call area code 773-779-2900. We thank our partners for partnering with us as we go forth in ministry. We're in our closing week of Unit 1 of our CCTI 2020 session. It's going to be ongoing for the entire year under the getting to know Him. We're embracing the journey with God and learning the names of God. You're encouraged to get a prayer journal, names of God, to travel along with us as you journal and write and experience the invitation of coming to know God and coming to know the name of God, the power behind the name. We are going to be presenting many training opportunities out of state in Seattle, in Florida, and so we encourage you to check your emails and be aware of those things that are coming forth. There's training for the deacons and adjutants. There's training for the pastors and elders in Seattle under Apostle Geoffrey Hooks. And then there's the training escape, if you will, to Orlando, Florida, for the deacons, adjutants, ministers, and missionaries. Exciting times. That's taking place in May, and the April is going to be the College of Elders and Pastors. And so you want to definitely get the information on that. You can always call the church at area code 792900 for further direction and instruction. Amen. Amen. We thank our men's man cave for the wonderful presentation on our February 14th as they presented that time of honoring our first love and remembering and bringing us together in a wonderful banquet, so wonderfully presented by them. So while we are waiting for our instructors for the evening to come forth, we ask that you prepare your minds and your hearts, and also get your Bibles out, journals out, so that you can be documenting the instructions and the things that are going to be released and the revelation of what our attitudes and our minds and our hearts should be. We meet on Tuesday at 5 a.m., 1 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. for church corporate prayer on the phone line. So you want to make sure that you set that time aside and as a sacrifice that Tuesday, prayer and praising and fasting day on the church growth, and our crossing over into our promise. Even once we cross, there are so many things that we're going to have to be mindful of and aware of. And so we want to make sure we are vessels that have been emptied out so that God can fill us with his instructions according to his plan. Amen. So please enjoy the ministry of music. Under the name of the names of God.
Abraham, and I am the ultimate sacrifice for sin.
Amen. Amen. I am. He is, and so we can be. So this is the word released over Labors for Christ Word Life Center for the year 2020. It has been declared the year of strategic crossover, the year when we will see what the Lord has said. The word of the Lord declares, but Israel stretched out his hand and crossed his arms, laying his right hand on the head of Ephraim, the younger, and with his left hand on the head of Manasseh, firstborn. And he spoke this blessing over Joseph. That's from Genesis 48, 14, and 15. The blessing of Ephraim. And we believe God is strategically speaking blessings over us in 2020 that will radically change our life. We declare that we will not miss fire in this season, but we will bullseye and hit our spiritual target. Says your latter years are about to be greater than your former years. God has placed his hand over you, and you are healed in a, you are headed in a new direction. God is guiding us towards his divine strategic plan for our life. 2019 was the year of the eye of Hebrew, and this year is the year of the open mouth. We ended a decade seeing, and we are beginning a decade declaring. We will declare what the Lord has said, and we will see what he is saying. Manifestation. Entering a new decade and a new era of creativity. God said, and he saw, and God saw everything that he said, which was what he created, and that it was very good. This will be the beginning of our good decade. We will behold great promises and walk in strategic blessings. God has prepared for us and our families. We are declaring momentum, maturation, manifestation, miracles, and mantles over mission, mandate, and ministry for your lives. We declare, let the mantle of innovation and inspiration and creativity be released over us in 2020. May we walk in double, be divinely focused, and may the all-powerful hand of God be over us like we have never experienced before. We pray that God uses us to bring the kingdom of this world into divine alignment with the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We speak not only a happy new year, but a happy new you. This is the prophetic declaration that is remain in the focus of our eyes as we journey through this year and through the various events and tasks and assignments and challenges and situations that come before us. We are to remember the word has declared that we will not miss fire, but we will hit our divine target. Praise the Lord. And that God has been to one, the one, is the one who will bring it to pass. So at this time, we will release the airways for further instructions and teaching. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This gathering should also be a time where we interact with each other. We are strengthened even by the testimony of the saints. And as we come together and declare the wondrous works of God one to another, we can see his mighty hand moving amongst us, bringing it to pass, bringing about an expected end for his people. And so you have an opportunity to share. We are well into this 2020. We're almost halfway through, more than halfway through the month of February. God has had two months where he has moving and he has done and is doing great things. He expects the testimony of the saints to declare his wondrous works. One of the names of God is he is a God of wonder. Yeah.
Hello. Good evening to all of our Blog Talk family. It's always exciting to be able to gather with you all so that we can reason together to hear that which the Lord will say to us. And so as we are in this particular session, we have been doing some ministerial training, and I believe that what we were looking at was ministerial volunteering or ministry opportunities in comparison to volunteering. On last week, we had some interesting dialogue, and so let's continue. We had the opportunity to look up some words to begin to identify the difference between volunteering and ministry opportunity. And as we were looking at the scriptures, one of the things that Prophet asked us to do was to view some scriptures and be prepared to dialogue to identify whether we saw it as a ministry opportunity or if we saw it as volunteering. And so I'm so glad to see so many people on the line. And so let's get started. Did anybody have the opportunity to view the scriptures? I'm going to take it by the silence that people didn't have the opportunity to view the scripture. So, okay, we shared so passionately last week that I think it would be kind of cool to do it from this perspective. For those of you that are on the line in this season, are you seeking opportunity to do ministry, to develop ministerial skills and anointing? Or are you seeking opportunities to volunteer, to begin to look at some passions and purposes of God in volunteering? So, for all of our blog talkers today, ministry opportunity or volunteer? Which one are you interested in? Talk about volunteering. We use some interesting words to differentiate between volunteering and ministry opportunity. And so one of the things that I stated was ministry opportunity was just another, or one of the things that was stated was is another opportunity to serve God and to develop gift callings and anointing. And volunteering has something to do with passion. So as you are on the line, and we definitely thank you for your presence, what are you passionate about? What's one area that you are passionate about? Anybody? Nobody has passion. Oh, Okay, what's the area you are not passionate about at all? It holds no interest to you whatsoever. Do this from a different perspective. When you consider some of the things, the opportunities that the Lord has given you to serve Him, what's one of them that you did not enjoy? You didn't want to do it. It was just something you really weren't interested in. That opportunity could have passed you up and you'd have been all right with it. Check my phone connection. I'm not sure if you all can hear me because no one is saying anything. So let me check with the engineer.
Need a minute to think about that.
Well, thank you, Evangelist. I appreciate that. But I was going to say this is a ministry opportunity that I am going to pass for, and we can gather later. So thank you. Okay. We can't hear you.
I'm sorry, one moment.
We can hear you now.
You had mentioned what are one of the things we are passionate about and that I thoroughly enjoy doing, and that was the outreach that we did with Emmaus. Yes, definitely.
I just didn't hear one of the things what you said. So outreach, she's passionate about a particular outreach, okay? Some people on the line are not passionate at all about prison ministry. Okay, we're getting somewhere. Anybody else?
All right, this is Evangelist to be Shannon. I'm also passionate about outreach ministry as well. Always wanting to know people and to find out what were some of their backgrounds, some of their troubles, and just using that as a platform for ministry opportunities to be able to just develop my own gifts and callings and anointing within that outreach.
Okay, amen. Outreach. This is a good thing to be passionate about outreach. I'm excited about that. What else?
Apostle, I've enjoyed everything that I've been able to partake in. However, there have been aspects of it that I didn't enjoy at all. A lot of it I would not have chosen of my own accord.
Really?
And then I found what I'm finding is that I'm reluctant to volunteer, and I'm more on the end of being voluntold because of the self-protecting. That's what I'm finding, that I'm doing a lot of self-protecting.
Okay,
I didn't realize
that.
Very
insightful. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you. Okay, so anybody else want to share? Anybody else? I think it's interesting. I definitely appreciate what everyone has shared. My question would be, what are some of the reasons that we don't move forward? So Evangelist said, oftentimes for her, it is, I need to be, strongly encouraged to do it or voluntold. Other people talked about ministry opportunities that they've had that they thoroughly enjoy, but it appeared as if they were speaking of them from a past tense perspective. So just looking to go, okay, where are we at? And what are we doing with our passion. What the Lord, if he did an assessment of our passion, would we be like the one with one talent? Is it something that's been buried? Maybe not for the same reason, but nevertheless buried.
What I find interesting with myself is I believe, just on a personal note, that I would even volunteer the more and out in this kingdom, the seven mountains that I've been assigned to and called to, which is the family. But it seems like because of my personal experiences that I experienced with my own family, I'm a little more hesitant now because I have my own issues going on. You know, I have a sect of women and men that I minister to on a regular basis. That's one thing, but there's more in me, you know, that I know that God is requiring and calling me to, but I'm kind of hesitant because a certain area in my life is just, you know, kind of not where I would like it to be. I'm not as free to move in it as I thought I would, you know, so I'm kind of reserved in that area, if that makes sense.
So for you, part of your concern would be availability outside of self, what do I want to call it? Because you are critiquing and judging yourself, you have disqualified yourself from qualifying to do different things.
That almost sums it up, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool beans. Okay, and then someone else said they were in self-protection mode. Again, not feeling the freedom to do and move. Because you needed to make sure that, not so much that you didn't qualify, but you needed to guard what you believed qualified you. So anybody else, anybody looking and going, you know what, I understand where I'm at in this process. However, I don't have access to ministry opportunity, or I have chosen not to do ministry opportunities because they would leave me open and vulnerable. Or for any reasons, actually.
Put that on the list.
Okay, so what would be praying for people? If anybody has their ideal scenario in which they could serve and do ministry, I mean, ideal scenario, what would it be?
Hearing God.
Dream ministry opportunity. Let's put your dream teams together.
For me, it would just be hearing God, doing that, not worrying about the fallout, him taking care of that, and still being able to move forward, not getting lost in the shuffle.
Hold on, Evangelist, because I think I need clarity. What do you mean when you say hearing God, being able to do it without fallout or getting lost in the shuffle?
Well, I think maybe it may be my insecurity about hearing him. Just being able to hear him and do what I hear him say. With no reserve or worry for what the consequence will be, whether that's good, bad, or indifferent, meaning he said to do it, like do the Moses thing. He said, go before Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh whatever. And then, you know, the consequence is going to be a plague. You know, not worrying about whether how the plague is going to affect you or your people, because you're there in Egypt also. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I'm making sense. You know, you're in Egypt too. So, you know, just going and doing and doing what God says to do and not being worried about what the fallout is going to be, understanding that God understands you're in Egypt and that you need to be protected even though the plague is coming.
Okay, so would there be a sense of free liberty to go and while you're there obeying God, he leaves you exposed because the greater message is in the exposure? Would there be a willingness to still proceed forward?
There would. I don't know that I've understood that. I don't know until this very point in speaking that out.
Okay. Okay. So understood, like God operates like that? Understood what?
Meaning, yeah, understanding that, or seeing it from that perspective, that understanding
okay.
that he does operate that way, understanding that it happens that way, that, you know, God says go to Nineveh, you know,
yeah.
that it works that way.
mm-hmm. Okay, so for you that are on the line, great dialogue. Thank you for sharing. What would your dream ministry assignment be? What if you could pick anything, anywhere, just dream ministry, what would it be? Oh, nobody has one? Wow.
Oh, I have one.
Okay, I'm not sure who said that, but what would it be?
I think this is obviously my thing. My dream, I know, my dream ministry would actually be having a group of people would be ministering to young people, to going out systematically, not going out, but being in a place where they could come and get whatever it is that they have need of on a consistent, regular basis, along with things that would equip them when they left that environment to cope with life and life challenges with a different option. You know, letting them know they have other options. They don't have to go the way of the world. They don't have to go, you know, the way that people around them are necessarily going, but that they have options. So just a ministry that would just be there to, like, impart into young people from birth, you know, to 18, 20, their worth and their value and the options that life has and meeting needs, to almost customize their growth, whether spiritual or physical, but to customize it to meet them where they are, who they are, with what their goals, their strengths, their weaknesses, as well as their destiny is. It would be that kind of ministry with dedicated individuals that were creative and innovative, that were available also and spirit-led so that each need would be met. Now, that would be my ideal ministry.
Okay, so ideal ministry. How? Let me hear someone else, your ideal ministry.
That's your ideal ministry.
Anybody? Ideal ministry? Okay.
This is Apostle Tishy.
Oh, Apostle, yes.
I hope you can hear me. My ideal ministry would definitely be a home office set up for women and men going through domestic violence. I envision a cooling center for men, whereas when they are in a domestic violence situation and they need somewhere to cool down, they'll be sent to the establishment. We'll have set up for them also counseling and things of that nature to counsel them during that so that they can have ongoing counseling to deal with, then to have an environment where them and the person who has been abused, the female, the children, can all come, be counseled, and bring them back to a holistic, healthy family. Sorry, I'm
all right.
That's my ideal ministry.
Okay, all right. Apostle and overseer. Anybody else? Ideal ministry.
Apostle, I'm hearing specifically because I do have a sevenfold type of vision of a circle of circle campuses that meet on all four corners of each city, and it has services that are holistic: family services, children services, after prison services. It has after school services. It has services for independent living services, things that meet the gaps that we have in communities right now where communities have holes that are gaps that are not being met, especially in Black communities, but all communities have these holes where these services are not being met. And then you have these people who are falling through these gaps. So these circle campuses would have child services, men's services, women's services, aftercare, after prison, all of these services that would be available to make communities whole again. And so nobody would be able to fall through the gap because of these circle campuses that would spring forth in neighborhoods, and then they would branch out in each and every neighborhood. That's a vision. I mean, that's a huge vision. And it would encompass, it would call for pulling in things like healthcare services. It would call for pulling in services like DCFS. It would call for pulling in government services. It would call for, it's a huge thing. But it all starts with building these small circle campuses and pulling in these small resources in these circle campuses neighborhoods. So that's one vision, and it has these seven parts to it. That's one vision that I've had for quite a while, pulling resources, involving the schools, involving so many parts to the neighborhood. And I don't have the vision for I don't have the vision for where to begin something like that. I understand who can run such a thing. I understand that it needs to be faith-based. It has a component, like Overseer says, where you have these children with these visions that need to be raised like Samuel. You have, it has these unique divisions based on what the gifts, callings, and anointings are
of these individuals meeting those needs also. It's a lot. But, you know, I'm hearing some specific things like that and being able to do something like that, but it's huger, it's much larger than I could even describe on the phone.
Okay. This is very interesting. Anybody else would like to share before we go to the question that says, what part of that are you engaged in now?
Earlier, I was listening, and you asked about our passions for ministry. And my passion for ministry is going to the hospital, going to nursing homes, serving communions to people who are at home and can't come to church. It's on-the-go ministry like that. That's what I enjoy doing. I still do it to some degree, not as in-depth as I did previously. And I think that that has a lot to do with an area of healing that God is doing in me with, how can I say it, being around. It was a threefold cord. It was me, Hosey, and Bethel. And when Hosey passed away, I really found myself in a position that I didn't want to get attached to people again. And so I find myself now withdrawing and trying to do things by myself. My daughter even made mention to me not too long ago. She was like, you don't hang out with people that much anymore. And I know that this is the area that God is healing me. I'm open to the healing. But now I find myself, I want to do ministry by myself. And I know that it has a little bit to do with the loss of a friend, a spiritual daughter. So thank you for listening, and I'll set up an appointment with your apostle at a later date.
I don't really know how to respond to that on an open line, so no problem. But what I will say is I am sure that people's quite a few individuals' hesitation as it relates to doing ministry is based off of a loss or a fear of that. And so that's one of the things I believe we have to look at. We have to make an assessment. What hinders me? And sometimes we can, you know, quickly identify it, like Apostle just quickly identified it. But I would encourage others to look and go, that's what you could identify. What is behind the identifiable thing that's really the underlying source? Because usually the thing that we can either easily or readily see, that's just, we haven't even scratched the surface. So I definitely want to encourage us to look, you know, what stops us. So other people shared as well in terms of, you know, their ideal ministry. And so the question is going to be, you know, what part of your ideal ministry are you currently engaged in? And if you're not engaged in your ideal ministry, why? And then as you assess that, part of what I want to find out is if you're not engaged in your ideal ministry, the place where passion flows for you, then what are you doing? And the ministry opportunity that you're currently serving in or that you have been serving in, does it have your passion? Does it have your heart? Or is it just an assignment? Okay, the lines are open.
I believe that to the first part of the question, you know, what am I, you know, engaged in that? Am I engaging that passion? I would say yes. I'm not on the level that I would like to. And I believe that a lot of it is, as you said, it's because of loss, whether it's loss of friendship or people or even our ability to do something. And I believe that one of the other contributing factor, I guess you could say, as it relates to me, is individuals that have the like passion that I have and are willing to do it. And so it's almost threefold. And then the other part is to engage the adults that have the authority over the young people and are, you know, making it capable. Honestly, if I had enough money and I could, I would drive around the city. I'd pick them all up. You know, what time you get out? What time you get out? I'd be there. I'd get them. I'd bring them to a place of healing and development and just a place of revelation in who they are and how important they are. And then when it gets dark, I take them all home. That's what I would do.
All right, so when it gets dark, they go home.
Oh, I damn near.
Anybody else?
I do that on a very, very small level.
Very
yes, you
small.
Do. It's just they don't go home when it gets dark.
Amen. So, and even if it is in the middle of the night, whatever, I guess I feel like they are owed so much because they did not ask to be here, but God wanted them to be here, and he has something for them that they are entitled to, and it is robbing them to not give it to them. And then when they develop the, you know, I'll make this work, or the, you know, I'll settle for kind of attitude, then we create these individuals that are wounded and angry and frustrated and weak and miserable with no hope. And so I just feel like if we, you know, even before they're born, you know, honestly, and it worked that way at one point with laborers. And then I don't know, there was a shift in things. And then I think even in ministry, you know, you look back upon those that have come through and you wonder, well, it didn't work, or was it worth it, or this one is there, that one is there, oh, my God, you know, because we tend to really do focus on the ones that became infamous as opposed to the ones that are directed and walking in ministry. And I know we're on an open line, but, I mean, I know that Apostle, you know, the investment and the, wow, just the treasure that are in young people that are powerful, and then to see it kind of slip and be snatched or be disguised in things that they're using to try to, you know, fix hurts and disappointments and frustrations and that sort of thing.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. I definitely feel as though I do it to a certain level. I definitely minister to people who are going through domestic violence ill, and just minister to people on a whole level, whether they be men or women, just ministering to them and encouraging them. My daughter, this year, somebody sent her a video, and I'm sorry, I don't want to take up a lot of time, but they sent her a video of a pastor who passed away in the plane crash. I forget what his name is, but he, in the video, she said she heard him say that the place with the most visions and goals is the cemetery.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And it sparked something in her. And so she came home, we talked about it, she, myself, and my granddaughter, Kiara, and we started something called Three Strand Enterprises. And what it is us writing down what it is we want to accomplish as a goal, and then each of us finding out the depth of our goals to encourage us to make it come to pass. And so we started that the beginning of the year. just writing down the things that we wanted to do and encouraging each other. I feel like I need to go and reassess mine because I chose something easy like releasing a CD. And I feel like that's, yeah. But I feel like I really need to go back and say, okay, I need to buy a property, start Hope Alliance Enterprises again, get that thing out the door, and then watch it shoot and expand to the vision that I gave you about a men's calming center, somewhere for women to go, you know, getting that the edifice. But it has to start somewhere, and I believe my starting point would definitely be acquiring an office space and then having counseling and things of that nature. So just this has was very insightful for me. I think it sparked something in me to a level of knowing what it is that I need to do and then just making it come to pass, because it won't happen if you don't start somewhere. And so that's what I appreciated about Three Strand Energies. Three is that we're getting together and we're encouraging each other to start, do something to make it come to pass.
Amen.
Thank you for listening.
Amen. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing. Anybody
okay.
else like to share?
I also am involved in ministry with helping men, women, young adults, older, they sober, just learning how to love on themselves without the use of alcohol and drugs, just abuse in itself, and to become, I've watched people just become happy and whole and just evolve from nothing into how God made them out of something again, you know, how people got their families back, their children back, people got their backgrounds cleared and became employed. Most of all, people got relationships with God, and just having that upper hand of knowing kingdom principles. You know, my goal and my dream is to acquire some property, because a lot of times when people come in and offer drugs and alcohol, they don't have no place to go. You know, their life was unmanageable, you know, and just offering places to that they could rent from, you know, to help and in turn take that money from that income and that revenue from the housing to build a kingdom of God. Because that's the ultimate goal, you know, and to implement those principles, you know, who better yet than a woman of God, an evangelist, you know. I watch different people come in, and God has called them into ministry, but it starts with a sober mind, you know, and a sober body, you know. I remember a long time ago, just a quick testimony of my own. I remember when I thought my body was mad. I didn't even know it belonged to the Lord, you know. But there's the scripture said I was paid for a price, with a price. I thought it was mad, so I put my name on my arm. I got shining red across my arm. Thought this was my arm. Amen, you know. But later on, coming into knowing, you know, that I am not my own, you know. And people come in the same way that I did, and they find these things out too. And most of all, they get in relation with God, you know. And if I could have a safe environment for them to come to, you know, without the boyfriend, without the girlfriend, you know, to give them a place of their own again and to help them to get back on life's track. You know, I would love to be able to do that and also build a kingdom with the finances. That's just a personal dream and a goal of my own.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
This is phenomenal. I definitely appreciate everyone sharing. Anyone else before we bring conversation to a close, but not the nature of the conversation? Well, I believe it becomes important. First of all, the word of the Lord tells us when the people are one, they will do great exploits. And I've been encouraged listening as I begin to reflect on where God is taking us individually and collectively, and property and things of that nature, because it's helpful to hear the vision that's in people's heart. And as I hear that, I can reflect over the vision for LFC. But what I will say is this: I want you to begin to look at what you're doing and identify if you have the passion for the task that you are currently doing or the position that you're currently serving in. Is that where your passion is housed? Are you serving in a place with the passion and the purpose of God, or are you just kind of placeholding, doing an assignment, doing a task until the next one comes? And then secondly, I want us to just take this week until we come back together again on next Wednesday to take the thing that's in you to do and make that a prayer focus to see where God is at in it and where he wants you at in it. So we're not saying God isn't in it. We fully agree that God is in it. It is his. But now where are you at in that process? And what is it that God wants you to be doing? And then we will kind of expand upon that as we have the opportunity to dialogue with it. But I definitely want it to become a prayer focus as we look at what God has given us. And if you can jot it down, wonderful. If you already have it written down, superb. Bring it to class on Wednesday or, you know, bring it so that we can talk about it. And as we reflect on it, let's go, okay, God, this is what you gave me in 1952. Okay, this is what has happened. This is what hasn't happened. Now, where are you at and where should I be? Because as we receive these visions, they become progressive and they evolve. And so we remember them one way that God has given them, but life has happened. And so we want the Lord to be able to look at it and balance it out with us in it. So, until we meet again on Wednesday, I pray that you will allow the Lord to cover you. You will trust him with your heart. I know it's easier to trust him with our soul. It's easier for us to believe he'll get us in heaven, keep us from hell, than to trust him with the people that we're involved relationally with every day. Trust me, I get that. But trust him with the vision and with the visionary being yourselves again, and invite him to shine his presence through the vision so that he can draw you or at least illuminate your mind and your thinking to where we should be, where he's at, so that we can create this passion for what God desires to do in us and through us in this season.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to share with you on this evening. I love you. I appreciate you. And the weight of the promises of God that's upon your lives helps me understand why sometimes the ceiling feels like it's coming down. It's because of the weight of the people and what God wants to do. And so I'm encouraged that he'll strengthen me to stand so that the floor can rise. But it gives me insight to the varying weights that are coming. So I'm excited. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Bye-bye for now.
Bye now.
Thank you, Apostle.